All right. Well, if you got a Bible, would you grab it, please? I'm going to ask you to turn to two places. I would love for you to have a Bible in front of you so you can see I'm not making this stuff up. John chapter 10. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Ezekiel 34, if you don't mind. Ezekiel 34, we're going to spend some time there, so I'm going to read there for in just a minute. John chapter 10, we'll read our text there, and I'm going to spend some time in Ezekiel 34. So if you want to hold those two places, that'd be fantastic. We're continuing our series in the I Am series. Obviously, is the Good Shepherd. I think you could argue today is maybe one of the most familiar, maybe the most popular of all the I Ams, the Good Shepherd. And we talked last week about Jesus being the door, about he is the one way, the as Danny's saying, and that he's the one way for salvation. And anybody that would enter in another way are thieves and robbers, are those that would lead people to another way outside of Jesus for salvation. He alone atones for sin. He alone, by his blood, he alone can save us and extends the promises of abundant life, both to come and in this life. And in the same context of John chapter 10 from last week, we're going to be in 11 through 18. John chapter 10, 11 through 18. Let's read. We'll pray. We'll jump in today. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand and does not own the sheep. Coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is to lay my own life down, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." Would you pray with me? Before I speak, I'm just going to ask you to take a deep breath and relax for just a minute and ask in your own way for the Lord to speak to you and open your heart today. Pray for me that God would speak to us all this morning. Jesus, you heard your people, and we're here today with open hearts to receive what you have. I don't learn about you today, God, but that we would learn who you are and what we can do through you, Jesus. Be with us, and may your spirit flow today. May you work in like never before. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, sheep and shepherding, it's a common theme in the Old Testament, and I'm going to ask you if you have your Bible over to Ezekiel. We'll be there just we go back through all of the Old Testament, and when you look at this truth of Jesus declaring himself to be the Good Shepherd, it's not a random statement. It's not just a random thing that he mentions. And if you picture what's happening in John chapter 10, after John 9, of these Pharisees that are the ones that are the caretakers, they're the ones that are to be taking care of the people, and they kick the blind man that was healed. Remember, Jesus healed him, and Jesus is getting on to him, and he says, "I'm the door." And now we see this door opening, if you will, of Jesus being the shepherd. And for me, as I was studying this, and I learned a lot, and it just a beautiful truth that just kept coming over and over. When Jesus uses these illustrations, and they're tangible things that they understand. When I say farmer, your mind goes to things that you think. If I say teacher, your mind goes to things. If I say stay-at-home mom, if I say engineer, if I say whatever it can be, your mind go to something, and that is exactly what's taking place here. These Pharisees, these people that are in the context that Jesus is talking to and teaching and rebuking and all these things, they would understand and have a mental capacity to understand something of a shepherd that the Old Testament would speak to. This metaphor, it's something new, but I was kind of pondering this week, and I was just kind of in my own
Jesus doesn't just say he's a shepherd. He describes himself with an adjective, and he's a what kind of shepherd? The kids have heard it. What kind of shepherd is he? He's a good shepherd. Thank you, both of you guys. He's a good shepherd, right? He's good. What makes him good? And what makes others bad? Why would Jesus feel the need to describe himself? In Ezekiel 34, I'm going to read quite a bit. I'm not going to preach through it. I want to read 16 verses because I read this in my office, and I hope this is not anticlimactic, but I got goosebumps when I began to see a picture of what is unfolding here. Let me read this to you, Ezekiel chapter 34, and I want you to picture the Pharisees. I want you to picture anybody that is in position of being a shepherd over people and taking care of people, that God is going to call these shepherds out that they're not taking care of the people, and God is going to step in, and he's going to say, I will be the shepherd. And God is going to speak to the prophet Ezekiel, and he's going to say, I will become the shepherd. And then we're going to flash forward in this beautiful text of the gospel when Messiah to come. Ezekiel 34, just read along with me. It's amazing. I hope you like it. If not, that's on you. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you don't take care of the flock? You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured? There's a lot of analogies there that the shepherd does for the sheep. I hope you're seeing this. You have not brought back strays or even searched for the lost? You've ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for the flocks but care for themselves, but rather for themselves rather than my flock, excuse me. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the shepherds so that the shepherds can go no longer feeding themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is the word of the sovereign Lord. I myself will search, amen for this, I will search for my sheep, and I will look for them. As a shepherd looks after the scattered flock when he's with them, so I will look for my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they are scattered on the days of clouds and darknesses. I will bring them out of the nations, and I will gather them from all the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements of the lands. I will tend to them in the good pasture, and the mountains of heights of Israel will be grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend to my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost, and I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Now I don't know about you, but even in my office, as I read this, I began to get goosebumps. I was like, whoa! And it was for me, and maybe it's just me having a moment to myself with everybody looking at me, but for me it was this moment of clarity of there's a bigger picture. It's not just some random idea where Jesus says, hey, I'm going to be the shepherd and I'm going to call myself good. And the Pharisees would have the mental capacity to understand, to step back, these teachers of the law, that would have the Torah memorized, and as these prophets and stuff come up later and to speak on Lord's behalf, They would have the capacity to understand this shepherd language. And I wonder what takes place in their minds as they're thinking about this man that comes across their path named Jesus, who's healing the sick, making a blind man see, and now he's claiming to be not only a shepherd, but a good shepherd. To declare yourself or something as good, you compare it against something that is bad. To feel the need to use that sort of language is to compare yourself. And as I was going back to 34, Ezekiel, I just got goosebumps. I kept reading. As God rebukes these bad shepherds, and we can fly forward, we can get to the good news of the gospel, the New Testament era, we could even go all the way down the language of Jesus coming from the line of David, the shepherd, and of the root of David, and all these things of this language, all of this points to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, the coming of the good shepherd. And the tendency for us pastors to jump right into how dumb sheep are and talk about how dumb we are. I'm not going to do that. But there are times when we can be that. I want to, if you'll bear with me, relish in the goodness of the shepherd and answer the question this morning, why follow him? Yes, we understand that he laid his life down, but why, as some stubborn sheep, would we follow him? And maybe we'll find ourselves in the text today. Let's look at John 10, verse 11. The first thing we see, if you will, the first thing we see of why we follow, why he is good, why we would follow him, is that he lays down his life for his sheep. 11 through 13. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. The hired hand is not the good shepherd, and he does not lay his life down for the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And the wolf attacks the flock, and it scatters. Notice the language compared to Ezekiel 34. It's totally intertwined here. It's beautiful. Then the wolf attacks, and the flock scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. It's simple. The fact that I don't care if it's the little kids we're talking about, their pets or their animals. I don't care if you're taking care of cows or pigs or kittens. I don't know why you have cats, but whatever. Cats or dogs or whatever. You're going to treat that differently than you would if it's somebody else, right? There was a story back when I was in Denver City. We had two labs. When we got here, we had to put them down. That's a whole long story. But I'll never forget there was a time when we were walking our dogs, and this ginormous, looked like a horse, but it was a big dog that was down. I could see it down the street. And we were walking, and it was charging at us. And I wish I could say I was super brave, protecting the family, you know, all this kind of stuff, but no, it wasn't the case. But I remember looking, holding, we had our chocolate lab and our yellow lab, and she was kind of the more defender one, but I remember I had a moment of panic. If that wasn't my dog, I'd have just let it go, you know, just like, hey, go, have at it. But I remember holding them, and then all of a sudden they got real protective. You take care of things that they're yours, right? Do you have a little bit more affection for your own pet than you would if you were feeding somebody else's dog or going to feed their cat or whatever? Do you get attached to animals, whether you work with livestock or whatever? Do you get attached to them? Do you name them? Do you talk to them? Do they come when you discuss things? Well, I hope that's a weird conversation. But when you call them and all this kind of stuff, Jesus is using this language of this shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. And when the wild wolves and the animals would come, a hired person is going to just let it, like, whatever. It's not on me. It's not mine. And I want you to feel, first and foremost, I want you to feel this personal possession of a shepherd and his sheep. He does it, hear this, because we're his. We're his. You, put your name in there. You are a sheep. I'm not going to say you're not sheep, but I'll put myself in there. David is a stubborn, dumb sheep, and I will chase things. I will run off cliffs, and we can spend all the time talking about what sheep will do, how they'll starve themselves, and they won't even feed. I mean, they literally would run off a cliff if another one did it. But I'm his. He lays down his life. Picture the cross. Picture the crucifixion. Picture what our good shepherd did. There's no curveballs. He did that because he loves you. And you're his. I had a chance, Tammy on Wednesday night let me have a chance to talk to the kids just to kind of just let them know a little bit about the gospel, just remind them, just kind of talk to them. And just doing the same thing of letting them know that God loves you. It's personal. He loves you so much.
And sometimes that just washes off of us. Old news, good news never gets old. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and we know this because he lays down his life. We are his, we are his, we are his. And this picture of 12 of a hired hand that's been hired because there's too many sheep, just like if you had too many head of cattle or too many livestock, and you're thinking, well, I got to pay somebody to help take care of them, they're going to do a good job, hopefully, because it's their job. But they're not going to do it as much as you know because that's yours. And the wolf comes, or the thief comes. Our good shepherd will not abandon. Our good shepherd will flee. Our good shepherd will come. Romans 5:8 demonstrated his love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died. His love is sacrificial. He lays his life down for the sheep. And you need to see this morning, of the difference between ownership of the sheep and a hired hand. But when the predators come, when the world comes, when the things of this earth would begin to woo us stubborn sheep to go after, we know that he willingly laid his life down. And I'm sitting in the office and I'm studying. I think it was Thursday. I don't remember exactly what it was. You know what I got a picture of? I got a picture of the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember what happened in the garden? What happened in the garden is when a picture of when Jesus, if he had a chance to run away, he ran away. When he's sweating drops of blood, you remember? He's praying. And what does he say? He says, take this cup from me if there's another way, right? Jesus, fully God, fully human, fully God, knows what's to come. He knows that the time is coming. And he says, if there's another way, so be it. But if there's not, let your will be done. And he did not run. He knew the cost. He knew what was going to what it was going to look like to lay his life down, this gruesomeness of the cross. He knew what it would take to redeem us of our sins. He knew how stubborn David would be and how you would begin to chase things of the world. And you would begin to see things that are shiny and pretty and great of this world, and you're going to be stubborn and go after them. He knew that the only way for you to have eternal life is to lay his life down. So he didn't run. Why? Because you're his. Yeah, Carson puts it this way. He says, the shepherd does not lay his life down for the sheep just to serve as an example, like throwing himself off a cliff in some grotesque futile display while yelling, see how much I love you. He says, no, the assumption is that the sheep are in such mortal danger that in their defense, the shepherd loses his life, and that by his death, and only by his death, could he be saved. So that's what makes him good. Above everything else, he willingly and purposely and lovingly dies for his sheep. Rhetorically speaking, as a sheep, is that a shepherd you want to follow? The second thing we see in 14 and 15, not only does he lay his life down, but look at the beautiful thing in 14 and 15, is that the sheep, there's a relationship here. The sheep know him and he knows the sheep. Look at 14 and 15. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And here it comes again. I lay my life for my sheep. Let's say you don't own animals. Let's say that you're like me sometimes, and the closest thing you have to be a caretaker of something else besides your kids is a dog. And I've been so bad watching other people's animals. They've even stopped asking me to check on their animals. That's how bad it gets. And they're in the room today, so whatever. But let's say you don't own animals, and caretaking after animals is something that doesn't make sense. I want you to picture coming off of an airplane, or you know, nowadays you got to wait for people to come, and a plane lands. You're waiting for somebody, you know, your kid or something, and a big group of people come out, and they're all out, and what happens? You're looking for a face you see, right? You're looking for somebody, your child, your husband. And when you see them, there's something inside of you that moves with joy because you think, I know them and they know me. And beyond everybody else, that is somebody that I know. Pets listen. They know their voice, and we see this relationship between shepherd and sheep. And you've got to, church, you've got to put your Because having a relationship with Jesus is not just, hear me this morning, it's not just theological jargon. I would argue that outside of a relationship with Jesus in just a mental capacity, you do not know him. Period. You can have all the facts and the figures, but if your whole life is marked by wandering after garbage of the world, we've talked about this, you don't know him. You're not a Christian. That's a hard thing to say, right? He says, my sheep know me, and I know them. And I'm going to back up. You stay in John 10, but back up to verse 3. I skipped a little bit of this last week because I wanted to do it this week. Look at verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Whew. And he calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And listen to this, his sheep follow him. Why? Why do they follow the shepherd? They know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize his voice. Do you see this morning? Do you see a picture of a relationship? If the sheep and shepherd is totally lost on you, picture your best pet. Picture that if you know their name and you call their name, they perk up. You can be in a crowd, you can be whatever, but when you call their name, they listen to you. They perk up and they know your voice because you spent time with them and you've trained them and you have a relationship with them. And I'm gonna be honest with you. When I read this, I see this intimate relationship, and I think of being stubborn sheep and going after stuff and ignoring the voice of God. Because here's the thing: it says my sheep know me; they follow me. He calls my name. Let me make it personal. He knows you with me this morning. He knows your strengths. He knows your flaws. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your deep, dark sins. He knows what you do on the weekends. He knows what you do behind closed doors. He knows your insecurities. He knows the pride, whatever it is in you. He knows you. He knows you. He knows you. He goes ahead and he says, sheep follow because we hear his voice. And the most convicting thing I think of the day is we don't follow him when we don't know his voice. And we hear his voice through the Spirit of God dwelling among us and the spoken word that we can, or the written word that we can read, and he speaks to us and we navigate through this life. But I'm going to in church here. I'm going to wait. Are you following him? Would you recognize his voice? Do you recognize his voice? We follow because we know that it's for our greater good. And as I've said with children before, and I think sometimes us adults, if we could just let this get in our minds, and when we follow Jesus, who's in front? It's amazing when you see the light bulb click on with some of these kids. When I say, following Jesus, who's in front? Like Jesus. There you go! Let's go left. Which way do we go? Hang out, church. Somebody said right. We're going to pray for you. I'm just kidding. When Jesus says go left, we go left. When he says stop, we stop. When he says go right, we're going to go right. When he says stop it, David, you're going to stop it. When he says come, you're going to listen. Why? Because he's good. Because he has our good in mind. And because I hear his voice and I know his voice and the sheep respond to the shepherd. So arguably, when we don't to the shepherd, we know him not, and we hear not his voice. So rhetorically speaking, this is what you've got to answer today. I've got to answer this, and you've got to answer this, or the rest of this is just kind of stories and stuff. Are you hearing his voice, and are you following him? And if you're not, my question to you is why? What is so alluring to you? What is so out there that's so important? And when you hear this, it speaks of this beautiful relationship. And in those moments, and I'm going to talk about myself, but in those moments where I, as a stubborn, stupid animal sometimes, I'm going to chase things, I'm going to go after things, that I know he's coming.
But he loves me enough to say, if that's more important to you, I want you to come back. But you got to decide. I think of this intimate relationship. Do you know him? Do you know his voice? Do you follow him as a result? In those beautiful grace moments when the shepherd, when the stray goes out, you know in Luke or other gospels where it says that he left the 99 to go after that one? I'm convinced that that's not always just talking about salvation, that those moments when I wander, he goes, ushers me back in to the fold. Sometimes it's tough. You know, I read a story about how sometimes shepherds, they would purposely break the legs of their sheep. That kind of, anybody up for that one? That I care so much about that sheep that Jesus says, that he says that sheep would run off a cliff, that sheep would run to its death. And it's for me to break the leg of the animal and keep it with me and carry it over my shoulders until it heals up, to bind up its wounds, as of 34 of Ezekiel and the scripture says, to bind up their wounds so that they would have an understanding that I am there for them, that I have the authority over them, and it is for their good to be with me. Anything ever happen in your life where you think, I don't understand why this is happening? It's painful, it hurts, it's hard. And or you're purposely chasing stuff and you're purposely going and it stings, and there's those moments of conviction where you may not feel it, but Jesus pursues you and he goes after you, and he may have to break your leg and bring you back in because it's a painful conviction. But then it's for the realization that it is for my good to be with the shepherd. When the wolf comes, you think the sheep doesn't realize, I may have made a bad choice. With a broken leg in the sheepfold, it's better than being out by yourself becoming lunch for a wolf. Or it's better than being stolen by somebody else. Tough love. I'm convinced that there's times in my life, and maybe some today, it's going to sound bad, you may need your leg broke. You may need the moment where Jesus is going to come and say, I need you to come back to me. And if I've got to break your leg, I can get you back. I'm going to get you back. This relationship, just see the beautiful relationship between shepherd and sheep. We know him. He knows us. We hear his voice. And we don't follow strangers. We don't follow false teachings. We don't follow thieves and robbers. We don't follow those things. Why? Because we recognize his voice, and it's for our good to be close to him. And if we don't know his voice, that's where we got to spend our time. And to come back to him, that God, renew the joy of my salvation so that I can know you. Let's move on. 16. I have other sheep. This is kind of weird. Let me explain. Let me read through the bottom and then we'll explain it. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason the Father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. Nobody takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my word. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it back up. This command I receive from my 16 sounds kind of weird, but let me explain it as best I can. What this is referring to is not just those that are Jews. What he's explaining is the sheep not of the sheep pen, not of the sheep pen, I'm talking about the Gentiles, those not of just in the area of Palestine and the Jews, but he's talking about you. Some of us. I go back to Colossians. Do you remember Colossians where the Apostle Paul is rebuking him for being racist and being all these things and having a hierarchy of divisions and saying, no, when I come on, there's no more divisions. He describes it as one new humanity under Jesus. And what Jesus is saying right here to these Pharisees and to anybody that would hear, he said, yes, you people, you Jews, these people that would come to me for salvation, but there are also sheep that are outside of this fold that I'm going to go after. It's the global mission of the gospel, nestled in verse 16. He says, I'm going to bring them back in. I'm talking about how that's going to take place in the kingdom of the church or the kingdom of God and using the church. But ultimately, he says, there are sheep outside of the sheepfold. That's us, non-Jews, Gentile believers. That's you, if you're a Christian, that are going to come into the fold, the flock, one shepherd. And then in 17 and 18, see the authority of Jesus
We see him reminding us that he's going to lay his life down only to take it back up. That fills with authority. And it comes with our shepherd being good. And he died on free, but he has authority. And taking it back up refers to the resurrection. And how our sovereign God is going to redeem us from our sin. The shepherd, he's good. He laid down his life. He knows us. We know him. There's a relationship, and we follow him for his glory. He gave his life, he died, and he rose from the dead. And those are powerful marks of a shepherd. I'm going to close with this, and then we'll be done. I think it was last year when I spent almost, I don't remember how many, 20-something sermons preaching to the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is the whole thing is written to these Jewish Christians that are entertaining the idea of going back. And they're realizing it's hard to follow Jesus. It's hard to be a Christian. And maybe it's just easier to go back and be a Jew again. You know what I found at the end of Hebrews, chapter 13? You can look it up if you want, chapter 13, verse 20. Let me read it to you. At the very end, almost a summation of the book, to close this thing up, listen to what he says. The author of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, taking his life up, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you to do everything good for his will. May he work in us what is pleasing through him, through Jesus Christ. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know what I love about that, besides the fact that it's just an awesome scripture, is that little nugget encapsulates everything we had to do. Our great shepherd, the great shepherd, chapter 13 says that he gave his life through an eternal covenant, raised it back from the dead. The prayer of the people is that he would equip us, his people, to do good and do his will. So here's my prayer for the day. I don't know where you are. I just want to be as honest as I can be with you. I don't know where you are in your journey, in your faith journey. Maybe if you don't know the Lord, maybe you do. But shame on me if I don't ask you some form or fashion to deal with your intimate relationship or lack of with the shepherd. Do you hear that this morning? I could do a warm and fuzzy, fluffy sermon and just say, hey, you're loved, God loves you, he'll come after you, but you've got to reckon with, do you know him? Do you hear his voice? And do you follow? Because Jesus didn't say they possibly might, if they're feeling like it, follow. He says, no, they follow because they know me and they hear my voice. So friends, if you're not, if you don't, then maybe you don't know him. Maybe you wandered, and maybe you need to have a moment of repentance to come back. And maybe there's somebody here today that says, I don't know Jesus. I know about him, but I don't follow him, and I don't hear his voice. I have a mental capacity about Jesus, but I don't know him. I don't hear his voice. And if that's you today, my prayer is that maybe you would do business with the Lord today. Would you bow with me for a second? Father, I thank you for the conviction of my own soul as I wander. And I thank you for the reminder that you're willing to leave and come after me. God, there's times in my life when I want to affirm and verbalize how great you are, but I don't follow you like I believe it. And I pray, Father, today for those that are here and, or could hear my voice, that they say they know you, that we're your sheep, that we would just do business with you, that we would maybe confess maybe things that we've wandered after, maybe a less of a dependence on you than we truly need to have. Maybe there's somebody here today that has a hard time seeing you as good because of what's going on in life. Thank you, Jesus, as we talk with the kids and for us as big kids, that you laid your life down for us and you took it back up and nobody took it from you.
By your own sovereign authority, you died and you rose again. In church, you can read later in John 10, they even took up stones to try to kill him, but you know what? They're not in charge. God is. It wasn't time yet. Maybe today could be the day of salvation, the day of repentance, the day of coming back into the fold of God in a devoted relationship. You pray, and then we're going to stand and sing. You can respond.